Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I am your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, saying thank you so much for checking us out this morning. It's going to be an amazing show, partly because you're joining us. Today, we're talking about beyond the heart, and we'll get more specific in just a matter of moments. But we'd love for you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Now, here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany. Good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia or online, anywhere in the world. We are so grateful that you decided to join us this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much for your love, your mercy, and your direction, Father. I do pray that you give us a double portion of your Holy Spirit today, God, as we are able to encourage and inspire and really give all that the couples need, Father. I know so many are hurting and others are just looking for direction or just a little bit of encouragement, God. And I do pray that you'll just be with us and that today's program will be a blessing to so many. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as Tiffany mentioned, we are talking about beyond the heart. And you might say, well, that might sound a little cliche. What are we saying here? So our scripture of the day, our theme scripture, is Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 9. And it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And, you know, we hear this a lot when it comes to love and relationships, as, you know, just follow your heart, maybe even about your dreams and your passions in life. And yet the Bible is saying here very clearly that the heart is deceitful, meaning we got to be careful. You know, how many, and I don't even know if this can even be surveyed, but how many couples would be able to admit that they've made a mistake because they follow their heart? Instead of really following God's word, instead of following the advice of others who love them. Because, you know, you can think, well, this is the person for me, or I got to go in this direction. But there might be warning signs. So did you ignore those warning signs because your heart told you to, or your heart is telling you to do something, but it might not be in agreement with God's word? So we want to talk about that. We want to have an open and honest conversation. Let's get real this morning. I think we've all been guilty of that, following our hearts. And, you know, sometimes if it does line up with God's word, then that's a good thing. But sometimes we really do feel like our hearts would trump anything else, and we decide to follow our hearts. And from where I sit, many couples are hurting later and say, I should have listened to God, the warning signs, or I should have listened to my mama, or I should have listened to my best friend. And I just didn't listen because I followed my heart, and my heart was feeling so in love. My heart was telling me to trust this woman or this man. And it was devastating. So we'll give you the number. We want to hear from you this morning.
And the number is 855-454-5905.
Now, Tiffany, I can't help but notice that you looked a little puzzled when we talked about this, when I shared this passage. And we're saying, hey, you can't always follow your heart. Now, I know as you know, you do a lot of productions and plays, and you've been acting for how many years?
15.
15 years. There you go. And my daughter just started.
Yay!
She did her first high school play.
That's awesome.
And you know, I think that's where it really started, because people do say, follow your heart, you know, follow your heart. But hey, wait a minute. That might not always be a good thing. Now, sometimes God may put something in your heart.
Well, yeah, that's my perplexed look. So how do you know the difference, especially if you're in a situation like, say you have a boyfriend, if it's, you know, a younger person or an older person or whatever, say you're dating somebody and everybody else thinks they're not good for you because of their outside circumstance.
Okay.
But their actual, like, how they are with you, like, they're not abusive and they respect you, but they don't have a lot of money, or they were once in jail a long time ago, or something like that, or the family just doesn't like how he or she looks.
So he killed his ex-wife. And
not
then, you know,
that. You know.
Like, hey, maybe I should give him a, he's different. He's been redeemed. All right. You well, know. A couple of things. I think, number one, like, I've had conversations with people who would date a non-Christian. Now, the Bible is very clear about a believer dating or being in a relationship, really being yoked with an unbeliever, how that is, it's totally not the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the response has been, well, follow my heart. He's a good man, or maybe I can influence him.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not what the Bible says, but my circumstances, or you don't know him. But the Bible is very clear. You know, now, this is what I usually tell people. I say, it doesn't mean that that's not the person for you. The timing is off. Let God work in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you're the person that's going to help them. You know, if it's a man, let some other men, some spiritual brothers in the church get with him. Because, I mean, most guys will tell you whatever. Hey, you're a Christian. Hey, I love Jesus, too.
And mm-hmm.
But is their fruit evident? You know, and so I think it's a problem when it goes against the will of God. Now, you've mentioned, well, what if it's more the outward appearance? Well, I hope and pray that we surround ourselves with people who are a little deeper than that, that are not mm-hmm. so shallow, that would say, you know what? I understand this is his background, and Tiffany, you know, I understand mm-hmm. that these are concerns, but let's get to know him. Let's see. But then give you their honest opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's too late. Your heart is already gone. It's mm-hmm. it's like, I'm sold out, and I don't care what anyone says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is the man for me. And people who love you and actually care about you
mm-hmm.
would say, well, Tiffany, you think it's just because he's unemployed. There's a lot more there.
Mm-hmm.
It's he doesn't even know how many children he has out there. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's just not honest, or there's something about him. Let's give it time. And usually that's where the conflict comes in, where it's like, well, no, you just don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to get defensive for the person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I tell you, we want to hear from you this morning. Give us a call, because I believe even some of you who've made the mistake of following your heart and not really listening to the scriptures or listening to those that God put in your life. And now you're able to kind of tell and talk about this and say, listen, I wish someone would have stopped me. And maybe they mm-hmm. tried, maybe they couldn't, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can bless others by sharing your testimony. Or maybe you're right now in a situation where you're torn. You're trying to follow your heart. You don't know what to do. You're confused.
Mm-hmm.
We know many of you who are listening are not yet married, but you hope to be married one day.
Mm-hmm.
We want to give you this number. Go ahead and get in on the conversation. We have a few minutes before our first break, and hopefully mm-hmm. we can get you in on this call.
All right, and the number is 855-454-5905.
You know, and I've told this story before. I don't know in how much detail, but before I met my wife, I was in a relationship that I believed, I thought that was the one. I thought mm-hmm. she was the one I was going to marry. Now, I wasn't engaged just yet, but I was in a serious dating relationship. I told my wife, she's the only woman I've put a ring in her finger. Like,
mm-hmm.
like she is truly the only one. But right before her, I was dating someone, a Christian woman, and we just, something didn't click, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I think it was just her emotional maturity wasn't there. And I'm not trying mm-hmm. to sound self-righteous and say I was super mature. No, I think I had a lot of things to change as well. But I really thought that, you know, real love, you know, love is patient, is kind, and
mm-hmm.
unconditional love. And so I was really confused. I was like, I see a lot of things in this woman and her character that I don't agree with, and there mm-hmm. are walls between us, but I'm supposed to love her, and, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what Jesus would do. And I kept trying to tell myself and convince myself,
mm-hmm.
except I went ahead and trusted some older couples and mm-hmm. people that really knew me. And I was like, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my mentors and one of my closest friends said, you know what? I don't see that. And he was very helpful. Mm-hmm. So I'll share a little bit more about that, and
okay.
I'll share a little bit more craziness in my dating life before mm-hmm. I met my wife. But we do, again, want to hear from you. We're about to take a quick break.
All right. And the number to reach us is 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows will continue with more conversation after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And welcome back to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us. And again, that number is 855-454-5905. Today we're focusing on Beyond the Heart. When it's not good to follow your heart, and maybe you have made a mistake by following your heart. So we're asking you to give us a call this morning. If you have questions about that and you need some clarification, Marcos is here to straighten things out from a biblical perspective. So reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We have Jasmine calling in from Philadelphia on line 2. Jasmine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning, everyone. God bless.
God bless you, Jasmine. Bless. Thank you so much. So this is exciting. So you mentioned to our producer, you wanted to talk about the perceptions of a spouse from outside views. So please share a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I met my spouse 5 years ago, he had come from a hard background. He actually came from a different country. Mm. And he had told me all of his background and told me that he had left that in his past. And I accepted that because I do strongly believe that God redeems and God changes people. When I introduced him to my family, he was a little bit older than I was. He's 5 years older. And his outer appearance still had that old person he was before. You know, a little scruffy. His clothes, you know, weren't what my family would think would be a typical man for me.
Jasmine, we're losing you. I think it's something with your cellular signal. You know what? It's coming in very, I would say, like
it's
almost
weak.
Scrambled. Yeah,
yeah,
it's weak.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, it's better. It's better. Better. Absolutely.
Okay. So as I was saying, yes, my boyfriend has come from a hard background. In fact,
We lost her.
Jasmine, so please, you must be in a bad area. It also sounds like maybe you were traveling. So if you can get to a more secure area where your phone won't have so many interfering challenges.
When you call us, our producer Larry does a good job in trying to help you to have the best sound when you call. So please follow those directions. But, you know, sometimes you just can't tell. The cell towers lose signal. But, you know, if you have a choice, cell phone or landline, use the landline.
Yeah, if you don't have a choice.
But, Jasmine, we do encourage you to call us right back. We'll continue on here.
All right, so we're going to go to Julie calling in from the Philadelphia area on line 1. Julie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My call is about a few months ago, my husband told me that he wanted a divorce and he found someone he wanted to be with.
Okay.
So since then, he's come back to me and he said he wants to do the right thing as a Christian. And he told me that he loves me and he's always loved me. So my problem is I can't imagine if he says he loves me and he's always loved me, how could he have pushed me aside for someone else just a few months ago? Like, how do I want to be with him. I also want to do, you know, God's will, and we're married. So it's hard for me to come to terms with the fact that he says he loves me now.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. And Julie, thank you so much for calling in. And that's an excellent question. I believe that many are in your situation, but not everyone handles it with wisdom and the patience and really the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture that I constantly share, a passage I constantly share. When it comes to situations like this, I think it applies perfectly. And it's 2 Corinthians 7. There's just a small part where Paul is talking about, and I'll give you a little bit of the background. Paul is talking about what happened as a result of the book of 1 Corinthians, his first letter to the church in Corinth, because it was a rebuke. I mean, if you read the scriptures, 1 Corinthians, I mean, the church was in major sin. I mean, they were getting drunk on the communion wine. They were, you know, there were lawsuits going on with each other. I mean, it was a mess. And so Paul really comes down hard. And in 2 Corinthians, you know, obviously there's a change. He says in verse 8 of chapter 7, he said, even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance, for you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation, leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So, so much that was going on there, even the way they were dealing with sin and sexual sin. So Paul comes down hard, and then he says, listen, it wasn't like I felt good making you feel bad, but I'm glad that you were brought to repentance and that you had godly sorrow. So there's a difference. There's two kinds of sorrow. Your husband has sorrow. It's just a matter of asking God for clarity. Does he have the right kind of sorrow? Does he have godly sorrow or worldly sorrow? And so how do you know? Well, number one, worldly sorrow brings death. I mean, it doesn't work. It's like someone that, you know, they go to prison and they're sorry, but only because they were caught, not because they really wanted to change. And they come out and then do it all over again. That's worldly sorrow. But godly sorrow has so much fruit as a result. And it says, you know, there's a certain earnestness and eagerness to clear yourselves, an indignation, an alarm, a longing, a concern, readiness to see justice done. In a nutshell, it's humble. And so I'm not clear, but is your husband just, is he taking responsibility for his sin? Is his attitude more like, honey, I just blew it. I lost my mind. I was an idiot. Please forgive me. Or is it more like, why are you making a big deal of this? I just, like, you know, I did something, but I've always loved you. And, you know, we could just work it out. Why are you giving me a hard time?
No, it's more the first one. Maybe it's something with me that, you know, all the, like, trust comes in and stuff like that. And, you know, you're constantly doubting and going back to, well, you know, how could you have loved me if you pushed me aside for someone else?
But did he take responsibility that, I mean, it was a mistake, he's sorry, he was stupid, like, I'm stupid, please forgive me, that kind of attitude?
Yes.
So this is what I would encourage you, Julie. At that point, then, it really is a matter of healing. And you're hurt, and rightly so. I mean, you love your husband, that's painful. No one wants their spouse to go out there and hurt them that way. But you still love him, and so you want to heal through this. My biggest encouragement would be, don't rush getting back together. Like, plan on it, start working towards it, but get some counseling, sit down, and really take the necessary steps, even so that you can also see what led to that. Because if you don't learn the lesson, it's very easy to repeat it. And so was there something, now he should take full responsibility for his sin, but is there something you did that maybe also discouraged him in the marriage and allowed him to get tempted even more? I'm not saying that it was okay, but, you know, I'm sure there's something that you could have done better as a wife.
Absolutely.
And so as you work on these things together, and I tell you something, Julie, I've seen couples, and I'm not saying this to condone it and so that couples go out there and mess up and come back, but sometimes I've seen couples that are actually stronger after a major crisis, a major, you know, downfall, because they work at it together. And I would say, Julie, take this opportunity as a blessing. Like, God is revealing things. It's a victory that you both are willing to reconcile. Just take the right steps so that your foundation will be solid this time. And you can, you know, really not fall into the temptations of Satan.
Yes.
But it sounds like if he's sorry, I mean, it definitely. And I think you want to forgive him. Just don't skip any steps. Make sure he has the right kind of sorrow.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Julie. We appreciate it. Call us back. Let us know how things are going in a couple of months.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Amen,
that's what
Julie.
I needed to hear. Thank you.
Awesome. God bless.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're taking your calls at 855-454-5905. Our next caller is line two. So we have Jasmine calling in on line two. Jasmine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. It's me again. Hi, Love Service. I go apologize.
No, you sound awesome now. Thank you. We were heartbroken. We're like, oh, we can't hear her. And then the call got disconnected.
Oh, I was heartbroken. I was looking so forward to speaking with you guys. And I've been listening on the line. And your advice to the other callers have really taken it into my heart. Like I was saying before, my spouse, I met him 5 years ago. It was actually that everybody around me was seeing one man and I was seeing another. He had come from a hard life. To be honest, he was kind of a gangster back then. You know, nothing with shooting people or anything like that, but it was with drugs and, you know, things out of God. And
he came to me still with that scruffy outward appearance, but he had a good heart. He was very sensitive. And when I first met him, I was walking to the store, and he just said he had to come up to me. So I told him to come up to me, and we talked about God for 2 hours. Okay. After that, I couldn't forget about him. But my family seemed to not get over the fact of the path that he had come from and that he didn't have money. And I'm a person that I don't need money to make me happy. And we all know money is the root to all evil. And as long as he had enough money to support me, that was fine. Through our relationship, we then had a baby. And he's had enough to just support us. And he's been he's had a hard life. And I think he has not gotten over that battle. So what I struggle with now is keeping our relationship afloat, because all that criticism that he gets from my family and even church members, he takes that to heart, and he cannot get over it. And he's a prideful person, and I don't know how to speak to him to where he can understand that my thoughts should be the only one that should affect their relationship.
Sure.
And it's difficult. I mean, he's adopted, so he does have a lot of psychological issues as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm very willing to stand by him through all his mental battles. But it seems like the outer pressures affect us, and we're really broken right now. And as a matter of fact, we broke up yesterday, and we have a 3-year-old daughter. And I'm very firm in that verse that says, "As for me, my family will serve the Lord." And another thing is that I think he doesn't have much faith in God as I do. So the outer negativity.
Okay. Well, let me address, you've had a lot to say. And I really do thank you, Jasmine, for your persistence and even in calling back. But you've said a couple of things. Let me start by this. Let me just clarify. You said that money is the root of all evil. The Bible is a little more specific. It says the love of money. And so it's not that money is evil in itself. I mean, money is neutral. It has nothing. It's not good nor bad. It can be a tool, but it could also do a lot. You could do a lot of bad with it. So it's the love of money. But in this case, you're saying that your family and those around you didn't really accept him much because not only his outward appearance, but his background, what he used to do. And then you feel like this has been a changed man. He's different. But when you said you've broken up, explain that one, because this is your husband, isn't it?
Well, we're not even married yet. We're not married yet. We've been together 5 years. We've planned it plenty of times, but it's always something that comes in the way, and we get discouraged to make that commitment, to be honest.
And have children together?
We have a daughter. I have a 3-year-old daughter. And, we struggle to keep everything in order.
Okay. Well, let me just start with this, Jasmine. And this is not a judgment. It's just, you know, God wants what's best for us. I mean, he is a loving father, and he wants what's best for us. And so with wanting what's best for us, just like, you know, your daughter, you want to protect them. It's as simple as, listen, you don't go near the stove. You don't stand up on the glass, you know, table. Don't cross the street without someone holding mommy or daddy's hand. You know, you protect them. And if they disobey, it's dangerous. It's a danger zone. You know, a child can cross the street and maybe nothing happens, but the potential of something happening is huge. And so, you know, as a parent, you're like, listen, you obey me. You follow my instructions. Well, God has done that for us. And when part of his protection has been, listen, I design marriage. And with marriage, I expect you to be faithful and loyal and make a vow. And it really is meant at this stage in time for us as loving Christians who are committed to Jesus, making a commitment to one another to be faithful. And so you've skipped some steps here, Jasmine. And I'm not saying that your husband's necessarily a bad guy, but if Christ is not the center of your relationship, that's concerning. Because
that is so true.
And so let me go a little further. I think when you have someone with the past that your husband has had, and look, I've led churches and ministries in many places in parts of North Philly and in the South Bronx, I mean, in Harlem. And I tell you, you know, you find people with many, like a very rough past, but God can redeem us. But it starts with someone having a high reverence for God and saying, listen, I'm going to do things right. It's doesn't take a lot to say, listen, I'm going to take this woman and we're going to go to the justice of the peace and we're going to get married just to do it right. Let's get it right. And so I think that, yes, people have been judgmental to him, but he needs to take the extra step to show that he's different. And forget showing the world. I mean, number one, he needs to show God that he's going to value you. Now you have a daughter together. He will value your daughter. I mean, why did you break up? It can't be because of other people.
You're right. Well, I think it was just right now financially we're not stable and he doesn't feel confident in himself because I'm the primary breadwinner in our family. And he's very prideful. And to be honest, he does not like that. He feels that he should be the one, you know, taking care of the family. So whereas I'm in charge of the bills and I decide, you know, okay, what's going to go to what?
I hear you. So it's that conflict in his pride. And let me just say something. A man needs to be broken before God will put him back together. And so my encouragement to you, Jasmine, is pray for him. Pray for God to work and for him to stop being so proud because, I mean, he should be humbled and grateful to know that you love him. You're in his corner. You're willing to work with him. God has given him opportunity. But here's what this man needs. Your man needs to not only have a relationship with God that's deep, he needs other brothers in his life that are going to challenge him and say, listen, what are you doing? You're walking away. You're turning your back on your daughter. Let get it together. Man up. And I know he's hurting. And I know you say he has the psychological issues, but get help. There are plenty of people who would love to help. I mean, look, reach out to us. You've called us. If there's anything we can do, but he has to be willing to really take a stand and say, I'm going to do this the right way because he's making it worse.
Right.
You get it? But Jasmine, thank you. I mean, I think you're being open, transparent. My encouragement would be really pray for God to guide him, but for him to listen to what God is trying to say to him. All right, Jasmine.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Please call us.
I appreciate it.
Call us back. Let us know how things are going. Give us an update.
Will do. God bless. Thank you so much.
You too.
God bless. Hey, if you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station. We're talking about Beyond the Heart today. When it is and when it is not good to follow your heart. And Marcos is here to answer your questions if you are concerned about something that's going on in your relationship. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
So I'm curious, Tiffany, when you hear a caller like Jasmine, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not emotionally attached because we don't even know them. We're hearing it from the outside. But you can tell she's emotionally attached to this. She has her perception because... You know, it's emotional for her.
Yeah.
I mean, this is someone that she obviously cares for a lot and has strong feelings for.
Mm-hmm.
And all her friends are saying these things. How does that resonate to you as someone who maybe one day that could be you potentially? Like you mm-hmm. find someone, you really feel a certain way about them, but the people closest to you don't.
Yeah, I have been there and it, you know, my mom is often my barometer for such things and she's, you know, usually been right. And I say usually because there was one time where she was not right. And that was when I raised my eyebrow when you first mentioned it at the top of the show. Because, you know, when do you really know God put something in your heart? And when do you know your people around you, even though they may be very good, strong, you know, God-fearing people, when they get it wrong? And that becomes the turmoil. For me, that's my question, because that is such an anguished place where you're like, you know what? I feel something so strong and I know for a fact that mom, you're wrong, or auntie, you're wrong about this. And you can't explain how you know you're wrong, but you also don't want to turn a deaf ear to something that they may see that you don't. And there is that one time that I remember my mom warned me about someone, and she was wrong. And I don't know what it was she was concerned about, but I knew for a fact, and it came out later, that my mother was wrong about that.
And you know what's interesting? As, you know, as a pastor, and I get with folks, I tell them, I said, listen, I'm not God. I don't know people's hearts.
Yeah.
You know, that's only something God can do. Jesus was able to do it, right? You know, God in the flesh, he was able to say, hey, your heart is wicked, whatever. We only see the signs, the outward signs. And sometimes we can be wrong. You know, we really can be wrong. This passage here in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord, and I just lost, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. He's talking about King Saul. It says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. So the heart is really the issue. Like, we can be wrong mm-hmm. about someone. And this is usually my encouragement. I'd say, listen, I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But give it time for God to make that clear. Mm-hmm. What's the rush? What's the, hey, I need to get with this person. And let me tell you, I've gotten with, especially with premarital counseling, where people are just so eager, they're blinded, they just want to get married. And a lot of times, you know, later they would even confess that they've skipped so many steps, ignored so many signs because they just wanted to get married. So I've even seen cases where, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't put up with or you know, you would not let go of something. Mm-hmm. But because you just want to make it to that wedding date and get married and feel like it's official, you just put up with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, some things are even sin, and that's obvious. But other things, sometimes the character things you can't just live with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you need something and that person can't provide it for you. You know, if your heart, and I'm, again, going back to our previous call to Jasmine, you know, she's saying money's not that big for her. Okay, that's fine. But what if it were? What if she felt like, I need the security of finances? Yeah. That's not worldly. That I'm not talking about having a multi-billionaire, but just saying, hey, I want someone that's going to provide. That
right.
If I get sick, or if I'm maternity leave, he's going to provide. And if that really matters to you, but you end up with someone that, they're really not, that's not their focus, and they're not really hardworking in that way, you're going to have a very difficult time.
True.
You're going to be like, you're going to be very, very unhappy.
Yeah.
Or someone that loves you, but they want you to change so much that you let go of your dreams.
Right.
So in your case, Tiffany, you love acting, and that takes a lot of time and energy. Someone that says, hey, Tiffany, yeah, we could be together, but I can't have you do all these things, or you're too involved in church. I can't have you so involved. And you give up, you give it up. Mm-hmm. You get married, and then later you realize, man, that's my heart. I love doing
resentment.
This. I love serving. And well, not just resentment. Now you try to go back and do it, and he'll have resentment. He's like, hey, that's not what we talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
Now I never see you. What happened? And so these things are so important to discuss and put all the cards on the table when you're before you get married, not afterwards. Let's continue here with our calls.
All right. And again, the number to call is 855-454-5905. Let's go to Tiara, calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Tiara.
Well, thank you.
We're having some great conversation here. What is your comment or question for us this morning?
Okay. I am involved with a man. I'm actually only 19 years old.
Okay.
And actually dealing with a man who is quite older than me. He is 30.
So you're 19 and he's 30?
Yes.
Okay.
But when we met, it was kind of like we didn't even bother to ask each other's age because it was like we had so much commonalities and things like that. So we were focused on other things and, like, you know, getting to know each other because we actually met through his brother.
Okay.
So when we found out, we were already about 2 months in when we really decided to stop and say, you know, well, how, like, you know, figure out each other's age. At that time, it was already like, you know, well, whatever. We get along perfectly fine. You know, age is nothing but a number.
Well, it is, but it's not, right? I mean, what if he was 65 and you were 18? Would that still be?
No. That's a bit much, but.
But I know what you mean. Like, it's not a deal breaker for you, the fact that he's just 11 years older. I mean, for some people, that might be a lot. For others, I mean, it's okay for you. But obviously, it's probably not okay for others in your family, correct?
Correct. And that's why I'm calling, because it's been over a year since we've met. And, you know, we actually were dated and things like that. And my family doesn't approve, but... And I've tried to, withdraw myself from the situation, to please my family, because to me, my family means everything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I find myself in a situation where it's like, you know, I actually love him, and I can't, like, you know, it's hard for me to try to, you know, stay away
from
him.
You're torn. You love this man. You want to continue this relationship. You're hoping, I assume that you're hoping that it leads to more, that you end up getting married, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And So a couple of things. What do you love about this man so much?
Okay, one, because, you know, the way we met, I actually lost my father. February 23rd makes 2 years.
Okay.
A month and a few days later, I lost my brother, both due to gun violence.
Oh, wow.
So when we met, it was like, you know, my father and my brother were like the only people in my life, as far as males that I could count on.
Okay.
So when I met him, it was like, after a while, like, I got that sense of security back, and, you know, like, I just felt more comfortable, and he was always there for me, and, you know, that's what kind of drew me closer to him in the beginning. And as time just went on, what drew me more attracted to him was the fact that it never changed.
Okay, you know? So you feel like he's incredibly supportive. He meets some of your emotional needs about, you know, the fact that he's a strong male figure that cares about you.
That too, and also because, like, not even just my emotional needs, but, like, you know, we have so much in common. Like, we could sit and talk for hours about nothing, and to us it'll be like everything.
Okay, you know okay. I mean? So you feel awesome about this. Now, let's talk a little bit about him in terms of his character. I mean, is he a Christian?
He is a Christian. He's not as firm believing as I am, but he does believe that there is a God. And, you know, okay, I ask him all the time, like, do you pray? And he says, well, yeah, of course, I always pray.
Okay,
but,
right.
You know.
All right, they're right now, just a little bit talking to you. I just want you to know, Tiara, there's a little bit of a red flag, and I'll tell you why. Now, I'm not saying that, again, I said this earlier, I'm not saying he's not the man, but there's also a way to do this. And I think it's the best way is to be surrendered and trusting God. What is your family's concern regarding him?
Because he's older than me, and they think that he's using me. And
is that it? Just the age?
The age, and also because, you know, coming from a city like Philadelphia, you know, young black men, they get themselves into things. He has a reputation, and or, like, he has a past that they don't approve of. But my thing is like, you know, to me, he shows me something different than that.
I understand, Tiara.
I don't want to judge anybody.
You don't need to explain. We know you're sold. I'm asking, what is it that they see? So it's not just his age, but also he's gotten in trouble in the past. Has he been he's been incarcerated?
No, he's been incarcerated, but that was, you know, when he was about 19 years old. Other than that, no. Like, but he has, like, you know, people know about his past in the streets and things like that.
All right,
not so much incarceration.
Okay, so it's basically his background. Does he work?
Yes, he does.
Okay. An honest living. He makes an honest living?
Yes.
Okay,
that's why I say, you know, he's trying to change, and that's why I put, you know, more faith in him than they do.
Okay. So again, I can see where the discrepancies are, and where you got to understand, you say your family means a lot to you. It sounds like you have a close family. They're concerned. They love you. They don't want to see you hurt. They also, you know, that they don't have that same emotional attachment you have. So they're looking at it with very different lenses. Now, a couple of things there. You're saying he's not that strong as a Christian. Okay. Now, here's the real question, and you don't even have to answer it. You can ponder it. If you want to answer it, you can. But has he made you better with your relationship with God or not? Like, are you pure in this relationship?
Honestly, I can't sit here and say yes.
So you're pure, you're not sleeping together?
Excuse me?
I said you're pure, you're not sleeping with this man?
Oh, well, no, not that part.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Tiara. That is the biggest red flag I see there. Because if this is a redeemed man, a man who loves Jesus, he would say, listen, Tiara, I love you, I respect you, but we got to do this the right way. And that would show his spiritual maturity. That would show his convictions towards God. That would show his walk with God. That concerns me. When someone has the kind of past that they've had, the only, you know, real transformation has to be radical. Jesus touches our lives, and we're different, radically different. I mean, you're talking about someone who, you know, if he was addicted to pornography, he's redeemed. If he was selling drugs, he's far from that, you know, probably so distant from it that now he's helping others get recovered. I mean, and this is what I'm talking about, Tiara. You're going to have to pray to God and say, is this the man for me, and does he make me better? Because if the answer is yes, and he leads you spiritually, I think that if your family loves you, they'll see that. They'll see, wow, this man helps our daughter, or this man helps, you know, my cousin, my sister. I mean, he's amazing. I don't think he's there.
Okay.
And it's probably not what you want to hear, but I'm just saying. Now, does that mean he can't get there? No, I think he can. But here's the real test. What happens if you come to him and you say, listen, I decided I'm going to follow the scriptures. I'm going to do this God's way. We can't be sleeping together anymore. We can't do this anymore. What will he say? Will he stick by your side? Would he get convicted and say, man, I need to get more spiritual? Or will he walk away from you?
Mm.
And that's the real test. Because if he loves you, why wouldn't he wait? And, you know, do you have children yet?
No.
All right. And so if you, in the future, you have children, you know, what kind of example do you want to be for them? And if you have a daughter, I have a daughter, 14-year-old daughter. I mean, I want what's best for her. I did it God's way. I didn't, you know, treat her mom, my wife, a certain way. I want the same for a man that comes in her life in the future. She's going to be like 35 when that happens, but either way. But here is, Tiara. I know it's not what you want to hear, but take this to God and ask God, what does he want? And is this the right man for you?
Okay.
All right. Well, we thank you very much. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we are inviting your phone calls. All you have to do is reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We're in an in-depth conversation about Beyond the Heart today. And if you have a question about your relationship, call in and Marcos can give you some advice. 855-454-5905. With that, we want you to hold tight because Marriage Beyond the Vows will continue after this.